All right, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation and such. So, Christopher 7. Now, I was going to play this video and just take notes, but it didn't work out at all well because the notes were a book. So, you know, because the statements he's saying, in my opinion, are just so wrong, you know, that you'd have to talk about it for a long time to explain just, wow, you know, what the implication of the essence of the statement is. And so maybe this video will be 400 hours long because I can't get through a single sentence without saying, no, not quite. No, that can't be right. No, that can't be right. And it just can't be right. So I have to fix this. Yeah, okay, I'll pause for a second. All right, going to hope I have the volume right. So let's try a little bit.
So, a point was made.
No, not even close. Not even close for me, anyway. So, I gotta fix that a little bit, and we'll see if it doesn't screw everything else up. Sorry, I should have done this ahead of time, but I didn't.
Yeah. Where would you be without your kids? Like, what kind of life could you have had if you didn't have kids? And
so you could ask that about anything, right? I could ask it about where would I be if I'd never picked up a cigarette. Okay. You know, all the little things you do in your life, all the little tiny events. If I didn't go to this whatever, if I didn't get drunk at that party, if I didn't do, you know, and in my opinion, it's the most significant thing you can do is just to go through it in your brain and realize where you made mistakes and where you did things that, you know, were foolishly risky for a very little reward and all of that stuff. And then your real obligation is to teach others by warning them about your own mistakes and your own impatience and other things that you did that just screwed everything up, that just made you from an efficient person into an inefficient person. So it's like somebody saying, well, what if I never went drunk driving and didn't kill those three people? I mean, it's a pretty significant event. So it's, in my opinion, a perfectly valid thing for a human being to do is to re-examine the outcome of their existence and to take account for how much time you wasted and how much waste you created and whether you got fat or you did this or you did that. These are all things that are real. And it's a fact that you should warn people not to step in mud that you know is quicksand.
To me, that question is ridiculous.
I mean, why would it be ridiculous? I'm just saying it's like any other thing you did in your life, any other choice or decision or, you know, and you can certainly speculate as to maybe I would have gone further in my job and maybe I'd be in a better position or maybe something else or maybe something else. And it could be positive or it could be negative. Where would I be without? I could argue that maybe I met a couple of people, had a couple of interactions in my life that were incredibly valuable to me in some way. Can't think of any offhand, but I'm just saying, let's just suppose, that I got mused by somebody. So it's a very positive thing. And I say, well, where would I be without that? So you could argue that without having your kids, you wouldn't have become philosophical, or without having kids, you wouldn't have done certain things. And so you wouldn't have, your brain wouldn't have made you into a more caring and decent person because you gained empathy through having children or some other thing like that. So this is a perfectly valid thing to go through, I think. It's the essence of the very process of recognizing the difference between good and bad is recognizing what good and bad you did.
I would just be some other thing, you know, but all things are equal.
Okay, so that doesn't even make any, I can't, you know, what's the response to this? All things are equal. They're really not. There's not an equal road you can take through your life. You can kill lots of things in reckless manners and hurt things and harm things and cause all kinds of broken hearts and make all kinds of chaos and mess. Or you can go through your life and feed everybody and everybody gets cupcakes and everybody's smiling and everybody's happy. I mean, it's huge dynamic changes. And it's just crazy to say all people are equal. What does that even mean? I mean, it'd be nice that, oh, yes, all brains should be comfortable and all this kind of crap, and we should reduce harm and all that kind of crap. But the fact is that you can feed your enemy. you can put a gun in the hands of somebody who's going to do something horrible with it. This is just a fact. So, there's no reaction to that. Like I said, you could just write a book about how equal in what sense. Certainly the implications of our existence, our footprint, are not equal. Some people leave messy, bloody footprints, and some people leave very nice, environment improved. They leave the place better than they got it. Some people go to the condo, right, and they stay for 2 weeks and they fix the sink and they do this and they do that, they fix things up, and then the next guy shows up and he makes a mess. They're not equal. They're not equal outcomes. They're not, they don't have a footprint that's the same.
On this planet, everything's equal.
So he says it twice, which is just, why, what does that even mean? I don't know what it means. What does that mean? Equal in what way? And everything? What do you mean by everything is equal? Pigs aren't treated like equals. lots of things aren't treated very equally. What do you mean they're equal? They should be equal. Should be it, just because they're just not capable of being equal. Just like a retarded person isn't capable of being an equal participant in civilization because he doesn't understand the rules and why the rules exist, and he'll jaywalk and do all kinds of things to make a mess. So they're not equal.
From a certain vantage point.
I don't know what the point would be. Where's the vantage point? I'd have to put my head on the floor and tilt it in some weird ass position to figure out the vantage point where this could be a reasonable conversation about equalities, because they don't exist. We don't have equality in our needs, and we don't have equality in our output, in our, I'm trying to think of the right, this vocabulary thing with age is a real bitch. The implications of our existence, they're not equal. We don't affect the world the same way. Any effect isn't the same effect. Serial killer is not whatever, humanitarian.
A CEO and a guy living on the street are having very different rides, right?
Yes, of course. So very unequal rides, you could say. It already violates the everything equal rule. everything's the same rule. It's not the same.
And so there's a value into making sure you've got the means, making sure that you...
No, so there's no value in you making sure you're protected at the cost of somebody else. So the very reason the CEO has the comfortable life is because it's made out of other people's drudgery, that he's basically taken the value of their work and called it his own and profited that way. So that comfort is very expensive in the sense that, you could do a lot of good work with all the wasted work. Again, we could build the Hoover Dam almost every 2 weeks and just the work wasted placating sports in America. There are huge values, huge hunks of productivity just squandered and wasted because of the bad choices we make.
You've got that covered so that you're not having the worst ride as much as you're able to help it.
All right, so again, I guess I'm just being way too philosophical in arguing, that it's not about me, so frankly. And there's no way this is a single-player game. So anytime you're single-playering, anytime you're saying, well, I didn't get headshotted yet, and I didn't do this, and I didn't, as soon as you're evaluating the progress of the game based on how it's affecting you, then you're making a huge mistake, because there's all kinds of people in the stands and there's all kinds of other players in the field who also have a stake in how the game is going. And if you're winning because they're losing, that's not too good. You have to try to find a way for you to win and them to win. Win-win is what you're looking for. You're not looking for a win-lose. Huge distinction, I think. Important distinction needs to be stated. If you're winning because somebody else is losing, then you're not winning. You're not a winner.
But there,
you're a menace.
There is no elevated station in this where now, the ride you're having on the planet is this is the one to aspire to. I mean
So again, yeah, you're saying things that just don't work. Well, of course, we should aspire to be, frankly, if you're going to be logical about it, you know, there's a bunch of feeling brains. You're in a maze with a bunch of other rats. You've already acknowledged to some extent that it doesn't matter whether I'm happy or the other rat's happy. Happy is the thing we're after, comfort. And so then you just start evaluating, well, what's my best course of action? I have certain skills, I have certain capacities, what should I do with them to maximize how much comfort there is in the entire maze? If I'm focused on just how comfortable I am, it's very unlikely that I'm going to do anything constructive in the maze. So I really have to acknowledge that my first obligation, whether I like it or not, whether I want the role or not, is to measure how I affect the world.
Well, shit. Now, there are aspirational rights. All I'm saying is that I would just be some other thing that would live for a time and be gone.
Okay, but it really isn't that simple, is it? It really isn't. I mean, you wouldn't just be some other thing. You could be some other thing in a worse position or some other thing in a better position. And whether somebody's challenged you to describe those positions, I mean, I don't know what context the question is asked in. I don't even know if I asked it, but regardless, it wouldn't matter. It's a really valid question to recognize that's, you know, we do make choices that limit our capacity, that, you know, diminish us. And then we make choices that enhance us. And the conversation should really be about what enhances you as a citizen and what degrades you as a citizen. Yeah.
That's it. And so when I say that I don't think it's a good idea to bring children into this world, it's simply because of the nature of the beast, what we're up against, what we're dealing with, the utter meaninglessness of it all.
All right, so again, that's, if it was all meaningless and that was the only subject, then I'd be perfectly happy if people procreated all over the place. I don't give a shit about no fucking meaningless, right? Meaningless, meaningless. Who cares about a meaningless? It's what's at real stake is this torture thing and happy thing. That's what we're really exchanging here. Meaningless just says, obviously, you can't really take all that context out. I'll be back. All right, Beck. The meaningless thing, but, you know, the more important thing is this idea of what messages we send to others. And, you know, especially, I don't talk to kids per se, you know, in these videos, not really designed for that purpose. But the idea of being able to, give insight or some sort of tools for a kid to be able to get past the facts that we don't have to, you know, once you're grown up, you know the tricks and you know how to refine your satisfactions in the world to the fact that you can enjoy your work. And it's a lot harder to get a kid to understand that, I think, that, you know, the things necessary, the tools he's going to need in the future are ones that are going to make his work more gratifying. And if he doesn't acquire those tools, it's going to be really destructive to any potential he might have to do all kinds of work that he would enjoy. How to put that better? I just mean it's, you know, really important to be able to do those kind of influences. I mean, the fact that, you know, it's really difficult for kids, right? Because, you know, I was one, and it's hard to have enough knowledge, of just how important it is, you know, that you have to do all of this work before you get any reward. And, you know, even as adults, it's hard to keep that in mind. It's really hard to keep it in mind, you know, that I could have made better choices and I could have influences and power that I don't have because of those bad choices, kind of thing. Really important stuff.
But all of our interactions matter. And I appreciate...
Right, okay, so there's no point in saying it's meaningless, but yet it matters. So the point that I would argue is saying it's meaningless, we got to come up with better language, that's all. That it has no innate purpose, but it has an emergent purpose. So once you create sentient organisms, you don't have a purpose in creating them. But once you have them, there's tremendous purpose in keeping them well and healthy and unharmed. So... it's not that there'd be any purpose for me to put a rabbit in space. But once I put a rabbit in space, there's now need in the universe, and it needs to be taken care of. That's our language fails us, I would say. So maybe we agree. It's just that we're saying it. You know, I'm requiring a little more precision just because I've heard it so many times and I've talked about it so many times that, yes, the loophole in that conversation is the wrong language. It's not about whether or not there was an intent to our creation. It's about the fact that once we exist, it has an implication. But yes, it doesn't have any innate function. It's not going to cure the universe's cancer. We're not a good pill. We're just a pill, and the fact is the pill itself has the disease. The cure is the disease.
Appreciate the inventions of all of these great inventors who really weren't good fathers, but, you know, what were their lives like? I mean, they don't get to know how, you know, maybe, you know, I'm sure a lot of them in their time got their accolades, but it still doesn't affect all of the living, you know, all the stuff that you have to do, all the things you have to consider.
Well, I know, but all you're really considering is the fact is that what you want to derive out of yourself is to maximize your functionality, and realizing that there's the little games, like being a baseball hero, that's a little game. You know, being an Olympic hero, a little game. Big game, cure cancer. Big game, you know, there's big games to play and there's, you know, games that aren't worth much. And the focus always should be on the big game. And the big game is what's your blood footprint. I mean, you know, how much harm did you prevent while you were staying here?
And as comfortable as it would be if I were a billionaire, Bill Gates isn't still hopping into bed going, "Oh my God, these sheets, they're so comfortable."
Says you. You know, I'm sure there's lots of times where he says, "Oh boy, I sure have a fun life." Lots of toys, you know, lots of, you know, probably has a big giant wall, TV screen with nature in it and can go anywhere he wants in the world. Probably has all of that stuff that we don't get to have. And I'm sure he does wallow in that a bit.
It's just everything just kind of levels out. And then you're still dealing with the same things internally.
Well, yes, the argument to be made is that we're all, you know, still machines. And, you know, we go all the way back to the phrase, if you have your health, you have everything. You know, so, yeah, there's a certain necessity to maintaining the computer for the computer to do any graphic art or for it to do anything more. So it has to maintain the basic function. So we're all stuck with maintaining a basic function that is being, you know, not being so distraught or upset or tense or irritated or agitated or, you know, that we're making ourselves sick and dysfunctional.
And it's that internal stuff. It's that wrestling with your own mortality. It's that, you know, dealing with the changes that life brings, all of them,
and the threats it poses. All right, continuing. So I would say to this, you know, what thoughts came to mind is the fact that, you know, some people are just, they wake up every day and they feel pretty good. I always woke up and I didn't feel too good. You know, I was always a little bit seasick. You know, life just is kind of, you know, Maldemar-y. And so everything became so much more work for me because I had to constantly fight back the, you know, the barf, you know, my desire to just puke in everybody's face. And it makes life so much more difficult when you have to overcome anything like that. So any kind of liability to your function in terms of just your biology, you know, not being very compliant or being irregular, undependable, changes everything. Because yeah, you can't plan on anything. You can't reliably say Thursday I will be at 3 o'clock. Well, maybe Thursday at 3 o'clock I'll have diarrhea. Maybe you know, it's that's not going to happen because I'm not going to feel too good. That's a huge part of, you know, the calculation is, are you a person who starts off with another word I'm not going to come up with the right word. you know, the word I really want, you know, that runs real smooth and is tight, and, you know, or is it loose, you know, and sloppy in its function, and therefore you can't depend on it. It makes a gigantic difference, you know, how much wax you put on the tightrope, you know, huge difference.
That aren't fortunate, you know, it's just all of it. And I recognize that I send mixed messages.
Just recognize it's kind of not a good thing. There's already enough of that in the world. There's already enough of the gray mush, you know, the fence walking people throwing the flowers in both directions. We already have a ton of these people doing that, and it's just, ugh, not very helpful. Shoot them first, frankly.
Or it may appear that I'm... Well, I am not... I am of the mind that it's not good to bring life into the world, but it all ends. You know, that's the...
No, see, that just doesn't work at all. The fact that the torture ends doesn't make the torture go away. It's a fact, and a dismal fact. And it certainly doesn't help the future at all to talk about it. Like, well, all your future pain will go away. I mean, you haven't had it yet, but yeah, it'll end. But I should think that it's not something to prevent. Well, sure, it's something to prevent. So I just can't make much out of saying, well, yeah, the pain is only hurts while you're alive. Well, yeah, okay, it only hurts while I'm alive. So, I mean, that doesn't, you know. But while I'm alive, it's real stuff, and it's really an event, and it really happened, and saying, well, it'll be over someday, I'm sorry, it doesn't erase anything. You can't erase it. The history is the history, the facts are the facts. Millions of years of animals actually being dissolved in the stomachs of other animals. I mean, every Freddy's Nightmare movie just played over and over and over again for a million years. I mean, it's just, it really is... Oh, whoops, you know, and you can say, okay, I'll just make it go away. It's gone. It happened. It's over. So what? Who cares? Nah, sorry. Not good enough.
Good news, bad news. Everything ends. This is only for a time.
And so what? How does that make it go away? How does that mean it didn't happen? How does that make it not a negative? How does that undo it? How does it just... Nope, can't do it. Can't put it back together. I mean, this is a broken glass, so to speak, and it's just going to remain a broken glass, and it's forever a broken glass, and it just is. And it never gets fixed. It's always a piece of fact in the universe that has sharp edges and is pointy, and if you grab it, you'll cut your hand. I mean, it's always, it doesn't have to be somebody's memory. Somebody doesn't have to think about it. Somebody doesn't have to know about it for it to have been an event, and it happened. And if it's bad, it's bad forever, as a fact.
And again, that's the good news, bad news. If you're suffering, it'll end. If you're having...
That's the whole, and again, it's the essence of the argument, is that it doesn't end. We just keep forcing people to march down the same road over and over and over again, right? The road right to the meat grinder, fall in, go through the horror, you know, might take a year, might take 4 years, who knows how long it's going to take to finally grind you to pieces, just to remake you out of the fodder and have you march the same frickin' crappy trail again. So... frankly, it just doesn't mean anything to say it'll all end. It'll only end when we stop remaking it, when we stop rewinding the film and playing it all over again. That's stopping. Stopping is turning the projector off.
Having a great time. It'll end. Like, I think of my grandfather. He's not around anymore. His whole life.
Right, so you can't torture him some more, but it doesn't undo the fact that he was tortured, whatever about he was. So, yeah, you can't hurt him because he's dead. But there's somebody else here that's available to be hurt. So what's the difference? as you pointed before, there's just not that much difference, okay? I mean, I think there is a real difference between people and the outcomes and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, the essence of the machine is the same. And whether, you know, again, it's not really doesn't matter. They're going to break my leg, they're going to break your leg, they're going to break his leg. The broken leg is the problem. And it's how many legs get broken. And just because the person who had the broken leg is dead doesn't mean their broken leg didn't happen. We can't just erase it off the chart and say, oh, that broken leg didn't happen. Well, it sure did. It's one of the things you paid. It's the money you paid. You can't erase it.
Everything that he worked for, everything that he did is gone. My children don't know him. But he had a, you know, he had a life like my own. In my mind, I imagine a way tougher life, considering the time that he had to do the things he did. And, you know, he had different challenges, harder challenges, but all of it, it's gone. It's just done. You know, all the planning he did, all of the financial planning, all of the things he tried to set up for my grandmother and his life and all this stuff, when everything's said and done, you know, it's gone. His thing.
I know, it doesn't, again, so what? You can bury the body, but you can't bury the event. You know, you can't bury the fact that it took place and it had value, and the value was real, and it's part of what you're evaluating. You don't get to just say, we're not going to count what happened to all the people that died. We're just going to count the stuff that happens to people who are alive. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to cheat the argument that way. That all I have to do is eliminate, you know, if I kill everybody who went to the war, then the war didn't happen. Well, that's sort of bullshit, isn't it? Yeah, it's sort of bullshit.
Things are sold. His people take all the stuff that he worked for and then they add it to their own wealth. You know, what's the, where's the meaning in that? There is no meaning in that.
Well, frankly, there is meaning in that. So that's the funny part, right? I mean, there's great meaning in the fact that you construct something that'll make the life of your heirs or the future, somebody in the future, give them a better life. Well, that makes perfectly good sense. But the point is most people aren't doing that. They're not giving them anything but cheat codes, okay, to cheat everybody else, okay? I stole the money from your ancestors, so my ancestors can have it and your ancestors can't. I mean, that kind of crap. So screw that. But, I mean, the idea that you would live your life with some notion that the future is yours to make and that you can make the life of the things in the future better or you can make the life in the future worse by what you do. You can put dioxin in the Great Lakes and mean that you know, people are millions of people are killed in horrible ways in the future, or you can purify the water and everybody's much better off in the future and they have fewer bills to pay, they don't have to go to the doctor as much, all of that kind of crap. You know, you can, you know, the future's ours to make, and we're going to make it out of our understanding of what value is. And you're sort of negating a big giant part of value by pretending that if you're dead, the bad stuff wasn't real.
That's my point. That's, you know, I am not an antinatalist because, you know, oh, having kids means you have the worst, you know, fucking outcome and that'll just suck. As if there are...
Well, and frankly, that's all that matters to me. So if you take the worst outcome out, that is bad outcomes, then I wouldn't complain. Go ahead. Have kids, if there's no bad outcome. But the fact is, there's a ton of bad outcome. So, yeah, no good. It's too dirty. Too much negative. Too much pain and suffering. Too much pointless pain and suffering.
Some better outcomes. I mean, there are, and again, it's a focus thing. You know, yes, I would rather be me than a starving person in Africa. I would rather be me than a multitude of people of various levels of wealth and fortune. And there are people who would rather be...
Right, okay, but that's not exactly the same question, the meanness part. So, and that's where it gets complicated, right? Because you can't be you without some of the bad things that happen to you. Like there's... You can conceive of some other route, but you can't really nail it down. So there's some sort of events that built certain pieces of character in you, and you'd really have to have had your leg cut off by Moby Dick before you get that, oh yeah, so I have to stop Moby Dick, you know. If Moby Dick never chews your leg off, then you don't have the life mission to stop, you know, Moby Dick or whatever. I'm just saying that part of it has to be built out of things that you can't take the negative out of it, because the only way you gained knowledge of the positive was through getting your face rubbed in the shit.
Be them, then me. I mean, but what is the worth of all of that? It's meaningless.
Okay, so that's just, it just doesn't work. Nothing associated with sentient organisms existing anywhere in the universe is meaningless. That's all the meaning there is in the universe, is what's happening to something that can feel something called pain. And outside of that, there's no meaning. The fact that there's no purpose for it to be in the universe makes it more wasteful, but it doesn't change its badness. It's bad regardless.
It's, you know, it's, at its core, there is no significance to this.
So you're just trying to add insult to the injury, and the injury is all the only part we need. We don't need to insult the injury, and here you're uninsulting the injury by saying somehow these words, I'll say, it ends, somehow takes away the fact that it was. And it can't. It can't erase the wasness, you know.
Adventure we're all on. It's just, we're just life forms, and what, you know.
Yeah, life forms that aren't playing a single player game, okay, but pretending in their brains they are, but they're really not, and struggling with the fact that the machine really is calculating something very different than what you're personally calculating. The calculation isn't whether I'm happy or not. The calculation is whether I'm productive or not. And we're failing dismally.
When you think of all the anxieties people have and all of the frustrations, it's all just for nothing.
Oh, so, you know, it's obvious that we shouldn't get upset about things that just can't, you know, there's nothing you can do about. But there's no denying that if your best friend drops dead, your life changes, and it's hard to adapt to the change because they might be quite vital to your function. And so those, that kind of grief you're stuck with. But yes, the, you know, some people, you know, make it worse than it needs to be, and do their grieving in excess, where there's no denying the fact that you have to be, and you need to be, ever-present. You need the ever-present nag that you have a bigger obligation, and the only way you're going to feel that is to have it pop into your head now and then, you know, that there's animals in concentration camps, you know, that there's a cat right now just got hit by a car, you know, that, you know, you have to have that flying in your head. Obsessing about it, well, yeah, that might be unproductive. But retaining your knowledge of it is essential. I mean, it's essential. You can't throw it away as an idea and then say, I'm still cognizant of it, because you won't be.
And that's the fucking good news and the bad news. Like, it's just... it's nothing. I mean, it's like, you know, have a sense of humor about it.
Oh, that's just such disgusting. I mean, I just want to, yeah, fuck you. Just too silly. I mean, you think of people, you know, like I said, I mean, the one that pops into my head is when I read that Abigail Adams, you know, who really was a, you know, she was a president's wife, very, you know, really kind of a great lady. You know, and she died, you know, having horrible, you know, she had breast cancer and surgery without anesthesia, and just, you know, your brain just winces at it. I mean, I mind, you know, my eyes start closing. I mean, sorry. I wince in its presence of just the thought of it. I wasn't there, you know. I don't have it in some really gory, horrible memory. I didn't actually watch my child get washed away by the river. You know, I don't have, you know, those hard visual, you know, really gut-wrenching bits. This sense of humor crap. Sorry, it's hard to respect a conversation about the meaning of our existence and, you know, have a sense of humor. It's all a big joke. It's a Monty Python skit. There's nobody really getting hurt. They're all just animatrons. It's no sale.
You know, be able to travel light if you're able to. But
yeah, well, screw that. No, I mean, you really do have to carry this stuff with you, or your selfishness will make it invisible. You will not pay any attention to any of your obligations unless you force yourself to pay attention to them. I mean, we really do want to evade it. And you're just giving license to that evasion.
But it's, and so if people are detecting mixed feelings, it's nuance, because
I'm sorry, it's not. What you're overtly saying is frankly contradictory and menacing, and almost it's menacing to the cause. You know, just change your perspective. You don't like your life, change your perspective. Shit.
I don't think you should have kids, but if you do have kids, it's
consider it a joke. You know, don't take it too seriously. It's not that big a deal. Is that what you're saying? I don't think that's what you're saying. I think you took it pretty seriously. I don't think you said you have a sense of humor. I don't think you did, but who knows? You know, I'm just trying to imagine a circumstance where, well, so he bangs into a few trees with the car. Who cares? Yeah, it's funny. I don't think that's what you were thinking.
They are temporary beings, just as you are.
Oh, la 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 la. So it just doesn't matter how many people you rape, because they're going to be dead someday, and so what? Who cares? Who cares what they felt? That doesn't mean anything. I mean, sorry, it just doesn't sell. No. I mean, I wish I could take that with whatever poetic license or something. He's just using vocabulary differently than I am. But no, that message is garbage.
That will come and go, and help set them up for the best possible ride, but nothing's happening. Like, just nothing's happening. Like, if you...
Nothing's happening. Whatever that is. I haven't gotten very far here, have I? 5 minutes. I can't imagine what's the next course going to be.
Create a complete shit. Then you've done... I mean, what, you know... Think of the devastation of a hurricane. A hurricane has no brain. A hurricane has no mind. And it can destroy lives. It can affect, you know, so much. But it's...
Okay, but it has nothing to do with us, because everything, every conversation we have, all of this leads to footprints. It leads to whether we are a hurricane, whether we're a menace or not. It all depends on somebody having the right conversation with you. I mean, it's completely dependent on it. We're completely dependent on getting right answers to choose right doors for what path we're going to make. And it's going to be the difference between hurricane and fluffy wind.
It's just nature, but it's just conditions, and we're living things in the way of those conditions. And the same is true of shitty people. You know, it's like it's...
Well, the fact that it's a deterministic universe and it takes it time to evolve, but the fact is it does evolve. And the evolution requires the individuals to participate in the process. You can't just say it doesn't matter what happens, because it does matter. There was an event where the first neuron existed. If that event didn't take place, then this whole conversation wouldn't be taking place. So if that event was dependent on a rock rolling down a hill, well, that rock had to roll down the hill or it didn't happen. You know, people had to go to World War II. You know, they had to get on a boat and put on their uniforms and, you know, clean their gun and go. They had to go through a whole bunch of crap to make it happen. It didn't happen because nobody showed up. It happened because people had to have the will to force it to happen and all that kind of crap. So nothing happens, you know, it just happens. You can just say it just happens, but it's made of the ideas and the theories and the, you know, somebody had to have the idea of the Hoover Dam, and then they had to engineer it, and then they had to do, you know, and then they, you know, the whole thing had to happen. And it happened because people read good scripts, not shitty scripts. I mean, the good stuff that happened.
It's just the pool we are in. And I would say it's our thoughtfulness that distinguishes us.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, so it's the ideas and the thoughts, and that is the stuff that comes up into your head that you said before, you know, just evade it if it makes you unhappy. But that's the stuff that makes us do the right thing versus do the wrong thing, are the very thoughts you sort of discounted before, the very kind of, you know, obsessing, you know, that makes something change. Mothers against drunk drivers, for example. They were mindful and thoughtful because of personal experience. And they didn't want it to happen again and again and again and again and again. So they took their personal experience and put it to work to change the future. And they changed the future. They prevented the unnecessary, some of the unnecessary waste.
And in that lane, in that realm of thoughtfulness, a thoughtful person doesn't bring children into this. You know, but a thoughtful person does a lot of things. You know, a thoughtful person chooses kindness. To me, kindness...
Yeah, well, these are all these words, right, that I basically said. Yes, so exactly. If you're going to do whatever you're going to do, do it well. I mean, these are old adages. You know, no job is worth doing if not done well. You know, Benjamin Franklin kind of stuff. Been around a long time. So, we should all agree on that. But first we have to agree there's a project here, that there's something to be, an outcome that is either, that is in jeopardy. An outcome that could be better or it could be worse. And once we agree that that's the truth, then we can agree that, well, we need to make sure it happens better than worse.
Kindness is intelligence. And people who are simply unable to be kind are usually not that bright, but they can't.
Okay, so that, you know, that's another thing where you almost don't agree. I don't agree. The ones who have acquired knowledge usually acquire scheming knowledge. You know, personal acquisition knowledge. So it's when they decided to be a capitalist is where the flaw is. You know, when they inherited the fortune and they didn't really feel any, they didn't do any thinking and say, did I really earn this? Am I holding a gold medal that I actually earned, or am I holding it because somebody put it in my hand, you know? I mean, a little tiny thought. It doesn't take much of a thought. You don't have to have a very deep philosophy to recognize that, well, shit, it probably should go to the people who earn it. You know, that's just kind of logical. So, I would totally disagree that there's lots of people of not advanced knowledge who can figure out the do unto others as you have others do unto you thing. They can figure that out. It works in their own world. Their own code, you know, of conduct, you know, sort of, you know, there's thieves, you know, they'll steal from the world, but they won't steal from each other, you know, because they get the idea. Right, take a little break. All right, back. Don't remember where we were, so let's continue.
Help it. I mean, that, you know, for whatever setup they have, whatever, however their mind works, you know, they haven't been able to take it to that next level. And I'm...
Right, these are all human tragedies, right? So the tragedy is all the wasted lives creating messes rather than cleaning messes up. So I would say one of the levels you have to get to as a human being is recognizing it's not a single-player game. Big, giant message. Big, giant meme. Big, giant idea. Because if you don't understand your life to be not about you having a broken leg but it's about broken legs being existing. It's not about your comfort. It's about the comfort of all the other rats in the maze. Until you realize that stuff, you're not even close to playing the right game. You know, you're playing, you know, hopscotch on the baseball field.
I'm almost 50. I'm 49. I will be 50 this year.
You're not going to like it. You're not going to like what's coming. But anyway.
I've learned that the more I discover about this world are the things that appeal to me in a deep way almost sound like nonsense babble. It's like the credits don't transfer. Things that I've, you know, for me to say, like kindness.
So all that stuff is really important. All the stuff we learn through our life should be something we give to the future. That's one of the things you can give them, is this little bit of insight. And the whole thing that happens is people end up just defending their life rather than describing their life and explaining all the mistakes they made. So because they want to say their life was great, everything's cool, you know, they don't do the future the favor of pointing out, don't make the mistakes I made.
Matters. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Of course kindness matters. But I'm saying that is a very profound thing to me. That is the greatest currency is kindness. Because
again, I just mean that, you know, I would say just it doesn't, you know, you're not saying enough. Kindness in what form? Again, this whole idea of people who think they're being kind by imposing. Okay, I mean, you know what? I'm being kind because I'm gonna live your life for you, or I'm gonna do whatever I can to force you to accommodate me and pretend I'm doing you a favor. Yeah. I gave you a job so I can steal your industry. You know, I can steal your inventions and your ideas and call them mine. Yeah, thank you.
We all bump into each other. We all, and to pretend that, you know, that we don't affect each other, or that some lives don't matter, or that, you know, to have any lie about our significance, you are contributing to maybe having someone's ride not be as comfortable.
Right. So that's exactly the point. So there's no point in saying, you know, playing with the meaningless word in this context of talking about what we do with the world that exists. Who cares about what created it? Yeah. We have to deal with it as it is. And the point is, the way it is really can't be fixed. And it's going to keep being a lame dog. And we're going to keep just making it suffer because we don't have the courage to put it out of its misery. So we're just going to prolong the torture because we haven't developed the vocabulary to be able to admit failure.
And when you know what's in store for all of us, or what we're all dealing with. I mean, we're not characters in a movie. We're not
cartoons. Might as well be. I'm just saying we have more, we do more plot analyzing when we watch a movie than we do on our own lives. People can find plot flaws in movies all over the place. Ah, that'll never happen. Nobody ever, oh, it's just a coincidence that she knows her and he, well, yeah, 7 million people and they two knew each other. Oh, come on, silly coincidence. I mean, people do more examination of plots in movies than they do examination of their own life. So I'd rather they thought of it as a movie, because then they would figure out the plot doesn't go anywhere. It's just, it's not happily ever after, okay? The movie ends with cancer and death. Oh, fuck that. Who wants to watch that every day?
Toons, we're people, you know, like all of the...
I mean, if the heroes in the movies, you know... Hey, they just successfully did this miraculous thing and saved it, and you know, they get a cancer diagnosis in the mail, and that's how the movie ends. I don't think people would be too happy walking out of the theater and say, oh, gee, that was motivating. No, it wouldn't be. But it's the goddamn truth.
You know, all the love songs about you people... Yeah, opining. It's such a universal thing. But that's pain people are describing. And we when people want to defend creating children, it's like when I've seen debates with antinatalists, the one who's against or the one who's for having kids, it's like they want to turn up their enthusiasm. Like they're like they just stepped out of a party. It's like, yeah, You know, I don't know what the, you know, like they almost want to put on.
I understand, but isn't that exactly what, in some respects, you're saying is in terms of when you start using rhetoric like chill? And, you know, well, don't get too upset by anything because, you know, it's all just meaningless. So I'm just saying you're doing the same thing they're doing, which is they clearly just discount the bad stuff altogether and just say, well, it's only a tiny percentage, so who cares? It's not me being dragged behind the car, so, you know, come on. How bad can it be? It's not me.
No. More of a smile. It's like, that's not the answer either. But also putting on a frown and kicking about like there's nothing.
See, this is the fence walking part, right? You're just, oh, okay, I'll throw you a trinket over on this side, and then I'll throw you a trinket over here. So one minute you say, think about it and be conscious and aware. Next minute you say, yeah, erase it from your mind. Be free. You can't have it both ways.
You know, of joy to be gained is also a lie. I mean, there's nuance with this, but if you choose to be thoughtful, if you choose to engage your thought into what's happening here.
Well, again, you can't really do any of this crap. Your thoughts are made out of your experience. You don't have anything to do with it, frankly. You're just watching them pop out of your fucking brain. So, you know, whatever. No sale to that either. You become logical. You become a person who can, you know, recognize that trees, well, okay, I can't walk through a tree. Walls are made out of wood, so it's dead trees, but I can't walk through them either. You know, then you figure out what bricks are, and you figure out all the different things that are similar and all this kind of stuff. And so you don't really have a choice about what you think. You think by the logic you've been trained in. I've obviously been trained in understanding a mechanical universe, and that, you know, motion over there is going to cause motion over here eventually, that this, you know, all this, you know, understanding the interactions between things. So it's, you know, the physics of the physical world is one part of your understanding, and then the physics of the interaction of concepts and ideas and what causes their failure. You know, if you can give people a scapegoat, you know, whether you can create one psycho killer who's sympathetic, you know, or you can create one do-gooder that you can turn into a crook and therefore say all the do-gooders are crooks because that one's a crook. That's what all becomes our logic and our argument, is understanding, no, you can't judge everybody by that book. You know, all books aren't bad because that book bit you. You know, all dogs aren't bad because that dog bit you. But then you also pay attention to the statistics that say, yeah, well, a certain breed of dog is a lot likely to kill you than other breeds. Some are more dangerous to pet than others.
That's where the power lies. Because then you are more than just a stupid phenomenon. You know, you're more than just a
herd. Well, I'm sorry, you're still a stupid phenomenon. You're still way dumber than you need to be, even if you're the smartest man on Earth. And frankly, it doesn't matter. You're just a computer. You're just a thinking machine. You don't make thoughts, you know. They're just mixed inside of you. You're just a mixing bowl. You don't make the ingredients, and you don't even do the mixing. You know, frankly, you're just a bowl. You're just the thing it happens to.
Hurricane or a drought. You could be that cold drink of water. You could be that for yourself. You could be that to the people you interact with. And we're all connected.
I know, but this is a huge difference. This is the whole point, that really people, you got to emphasize that, frankly, there's a great economy in doing it to the world rather than yourself. What do you call it when you make that joke about chicks who are high maintenance? You know, you can be very high maintenance and recognize, wow, I'm really high maintenance. It takes a lot to make me happy. So why bother? Okay, yeah, let's make somebody else happy instead, because I need a lot of dancing girls and a lot of this and a lot of that before it's going to work for me.
You know, and to point out how inventors didn't have kids, well, who gives a fuck?
Okay, well, it is sort of important as an argument to say that you want to actualize real something out of yourself, you can't be hugely distracted. And this is a concept that goes all the way back to the Bible. So, I mean, the idea that, you know, you're going to be distracted by your little projects, you know, and you're not going to be able to do the big project if you're completely distracted by a bunch of little projects. Okay, take a pause. Oh, sorry. Busy with the cooking of the dinner and such. So anyway, continuing.
They still lived and died like shit. And if we are benefiting from their inventions, great. But we all benefit from each other. We're all bumping into each other.
Okay, so yeah, I know. But obviously being productive requires you to be focused and also disciplined. And lots of things that don't happen by accident. And lots of things you're going to have to acquire knowledge that isn't going to be any fun. So I'm sort of back to the idea of how hard it is to be able to instill in a kid this idea, okay, that you really have to do this extra work now to be more capable later. And that you have an obligation to be more capable, not for yourself, but for the world you're going to interact with. You have to be a very good driver. You know, you have to do all these things well. And you can't do that unless you acquire the skill set to do that. You have to acquire the vocabulary and the literacy and all of this stuff that takes time. You know, you have to put the time in to have the knowledge to be able to manipulate it properly. You have to learn the skills.
Like, the difference between Chick-fil-A and Burger King is how they're bumping against each other from the top to the bottom. And us as the consumer...
I really can't relate at all to that metaphor. So, yeah, I don't even know what a Chick-fil-A is. But okay, whatever.
Are getting the experience of all that bumping together. And some have a positive way and some have a negative way. But all of our interactions should be considered thoughtfully. I mean...
All of our actions should be thoughtful. That's the whole point, right? All of them, we should take as much time to make sure we're doing the right thing as we can afford to take. Now, in most cases, we really don't have enough time, in a lot of cases. And so sometimes we have to already have it built into us. We have to already think about it before we get to the event. So, see, if I go to a war, I'm already going to have it in my head about this whole jumping on the grenade thing. So when the grenade happens, I won't be like some people who... Oh yeah, am I supposed to jump on the... Oh, there's a theory that I'm supposed to jump on the grenade. I forgot. I didn't realize there was a theory where it might be good for me to jump on it. So I'm already going to be aware of my place in this group of people. And, you know, I'm already going to be ready in the sense that the grenade lands and it's in a certain position and my brain is already going to be ready because it's already done the calculation and it can play the rest of the song. You know, it hears the notes and, oh yeah, I can finish that song. Yeah. So, and that's what, you know, that's what we're required to do. We can't do it by sloppy. We have to do it by actually having the discipline to wallow in it, to do the unpleasant wallowing in the planning. Or, you know, somebody's got to draw the blueprint. We all can't be the builders.
Even the idea of being gentle. You know, I love the word gentleman. I mean, it's been around forever, but I wonder its origins. You know, if people are like, man, Bob is so, like, what, you know, I've seen him deal with frustrating situations.
I think it just, it has to do with the fact that the alphas tend to be kind of rough, okay, on the edges. And that it's only through this maturity that you acquire this, you know, say the carving of the David, you know, the strength in and beauty in being you know, a person of cause and purpose rather than just a brute. You know, it's the fact that you're taking the wind and funneling it and controlling it and making it into something. And I think that's sort of why the word means something, is that you're taking this reckless edge off the man, okay, and converting him into a much better machine by his actions being deliberate and purposeful.
And he smiles, he's kind, when most people would just kick their ass. Yeah, he's pretty gentle. I mean, yeah, he's a gentle man. I want to be a gentle man too. I do want to be a gentle man.
I just want to be effective, I guess. So, you know, part of me just says, yes, I don't care how you get it done, just get the job done. And I think tough love is part of that. I think, you know, I don't think being gentle necessarily wins the day. Because I think some of the persuasion has to be in an assertive and confident form, because people are taking it's a step of a kind of faith, and they sort of have to trust you, you know, sometimes, because they can't understand everything, and they can't do the 20 years of philosophy you did to acquire an understanding. Maybe you have to be confident if you're going to have any hope of rescuing them. They have to trust you to grab your hand, you know, that kind of thing. Now, I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying it's certainly an approach, and it's certainly one that could be effective. And in the bottom line is, did you win or did you lose? The bottom line isn't going to be, I tried hard. So as Yoda says, okay, try, what the fuck is that? Fuck try. You either do or you do not do. Try, screw that. Got to be better than that. You got to try right, not try pointless. So yeah, be gentle where it's necessary. Be tough where it's necessary.
Because I see value in that. And that, to me, is the only value in living, is to be other than just the...
Right, so we agree. Being a knee-jerk, screw that. I mean, if you're not going to use your brain to do more than knee-jerk, then don't have a brain. Don't, you know, we should just lock you in the he's just a knee-jerk box. So if you can't do anything better than just, you know, flexing your muscles, yeah, fuck you. All right, because this is a brain game. This game can't be played by knee jerking. Okay, knee jerks won't have a strategy. They won't have they can't function. It's too delicate a process. You have to have scalpels and, you know, surgical knowledge. Knee jerking won't get the job done. Won't successfully remove the appendix.
Entropy of it all. Just the decay. Because the decay is coming, and the decay will come for all of us. Decay is coming right now. I mean, it's just, you know, I wear this not because of the bling. The bling. This is a fucking rope with...
Yeah, I understand. I'm just saying it's, you know, whatever you want me to... What? Okay, it's spiritual or something. Is that why you wear it? Whatever.
You know, I mean, it's a cheap little thing, but I love what it represents. Or what it represents for me... Is that... Ah, shit.
Yeah, that's where it's going to turn to shit, I think. What it represents to me is too simple an answer for too complicated a question. You know, there's not any automatic right to fix any wrong. There's not, you know... There just isn't. There isn't any of this circular fun park bullshit. What comes around goes around. You know, it's all bullshit. Deserve doesn't have anything to do with it. It's not yin yang. It's not, yeah, blah blah blah. I'm just saying. It's just it's a diagram. Okay, and you know, crosses mean something to some people. So different little symbols mean something to people. But I just, you know, frankly, you can't consolidate anything meaningful in the universe into some simple little symbol, I guess is what I'm saying. The artwork has to be a little more complicated. Like the background images of some of my background images here, that artwork is saying something, okay? So, yeah, if I could wear that as a little charm and people could actually see what it said, then I'd wear it. But, you know, obviously they're not going to know what it is, and they'll have to get really close, and then I'll get coronavirus or something. So hell with that. Not that I interact with that many people, so it really wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter what I wear, frankly. You know, it's a symbol, just because no one's looking anyway. All right, have to pause again. Sorry, I'm busy. All right, I should be back. It's been a while. No idea where we were, and the video's getting kind of long, so I might cut it in half here and then play the next video also. But we'll see.
I was gonna say something that it just sounds like some bumper sticker shit. But everything ends, and in devastation, there's always opportunity, and in that blooming opportunity is its own demise. And around we go. And as a thoughtful person, I'm.
Yeah, I'm just saying, this all like the circular cliche kind of stuff. I mean, the fact is that some stuff is deservingly too much. And if we're all going to say, well, no, we can take anything and turn it into, we can find a silver lining in any catastrophe, that's also dangerous. So that's, you know, yeah, you got to make the best of it. But the argument is should we keep making the best of it in a lifeboat? Should we keep sinking the Titanic? I mean, yeah. No, let's quit doing that.
Saying don't invite kids to this. And if you are going to invite kids to this, and by kids, they're only kids.
Great. You know, that's a good statement. So, you know, I could be just satisfied if that's, if that was the, I mean, obviously that's the only message to the video that I, you know, I place value on, is the acknowledgement that, deal with your own problems. Don't make more problems that have to be dealt with. So find a way to deal with your life. And don't be thinking you're going to solve it, you know, by giving somebody else the disease kind of thing. That's just not right. You can't make the cure out of somebody else's jeopardy. That just sucks.
It's for a little bit. If you're going to invite, you know, people to this dance, set them up so that they can enjoy it and be able
to. All right, so you're not going to invite them, you're going to impose upon them. If you're going to impose, then impose as little as possible. That is, do as much of the work yourself and impose as little risk as possible on them. But again, it's all some sort of daydream that you can do that. That you can, you know, you have a bulletproof cape and you can cover them with it. You know, now that's going to happen. All right, so that's probably a good enough point to end and such. Yeah, I think so. I really do think so. Just 12 minutes. Yeah, so I turned 12 minutes into an hour. Well, there's always a lot of charged statements, so I think it was worth taking the time to explain myself and such. So, we'll call it a video. Yeah. So this has been a Do Not God video presentation and such, and Google's evil and blah, 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 blah. Act accordingly.